The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, we'll have live in our studio three of the four members of Bua, who are a traditional Irish band out of Chicago. They're in town tonight to play on the Piper's Hut Concert Series, which brings traditional acoustic Celtic music to the Champaign-Urbana area. And tonight's concert will be at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. And as I said, we've got them live for the studio. Here's a bit from their most recent CD, which is called Down the Green Fields. That was the opening track from the most recent CD by the Irish band Bua. It's called Down the Green Fields, the CD is, and the track called Eddie Maloney's with the, is it Micho or Miko Russell's?
Miko.
Miko. Oh, there you go. Mason's Apron. What do all these names mean? These are Bua, three members of the four-person band, Bua out of Chicago, are with me on the show today. They are going to be performing on the Piper's Hut Concert Series at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight for an 8 o'clock show. And I hasten to add that all four members will be at the show. One of them just had an emergency this morning, had to run up to Chicago After their show yesterday, you were in Bloomington, Indiana.
Correct. Yep.
So you didn't have too far to come this morning, which is very good. Thanks very much for coming in.
thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's. I think it's been a little while since we've had some live performers in the show, and that's always wonderful, especially to have some musicians as fine as you guys are. I was enjoying hearing some clips online of your playing and reading it a bit about you. It took me a while to figure out that none of you is directly from Ireland, right?
True.
But
true.
Most of you are pretty darn close. Or well, at least some of you are darn close.
Yeah, we've all spent time there. I think, you know, I mean, all of us were born in the States, but we've all been into the music our whole lives. And Sean's dad's from Ireland, so I guess he was probably exposed to the music very early, and he has the passport.
So yeah, so there you go.
So technically, he is Irish.
Oh, so Sean, you're the only one that has Irish parents?
I think so, yeah. Yep, as far as I know.
In spite of the fact that we have a very Irish name among the three of you, I haven't actually introduced you, it occurs to me. Sean Gavin plays flute and Illan pipes with the band. Brian Miller spoke first, I think. He plays guitar, bouzouki, does vocals. Some of the vocals, anyway. All the vocals? Some of the vocals?
No, just some.
Some of the vocals. And then Brianna O'Hart does other vocals, and I don't see an instrument in your lap.
I wear them on my feet, and then sometimes I bring out the concertina and play.
But today we will not have concertina.
No concertina.
Just the voice.
Just the voice. It's enough.
And won't be dancing in here either. That would make a horrible thumping sound.
It would,
Which would not translate well for our listeners. But we'll be dancing on the wooden platform, or I presume on the platform, or maybe
indeed.
The floor.
Yeah.
At the Independent Media Center tonight. Well, why don't you guys launch into something? What would you like to start with?
Yeah, you want to play a set of tunes maybe first?
Sure. Why don't we play those jigs?
Yeah.
We'll try a couple of jigs. These are ones that we've been playing lately. The first tune is one called Scattery Island, which is a small island in the River Shannon. And then we followed up with a tune called Happy to Meet, which there's a lot of different versions of throughout the years. But this one comes from a wax cylinder recording of a fiddle player called John McFadden, who was from the County Mayo and lived in Chicago around the turn of the 20th century.
So okay. Bua, here on Live and Local. Thank you. Music here live in our studio on Live and Local on FM 90.9. We heard flutist, lost your name here, Sean Gavin, sorry, with guitarist Brian Miller, both of them of the band Bua, who are going to be at the Piper's on the Piper's Hut series tonight in downtown Urbana for a program. What does your name mean, and how did you acquire it? How did you come up with that one?
It's kind of a long story, but the band's actually started a long time ago in Chicago, I think almost 12 years ago, something like that, and none of the original members are in the band anymore. But originally the band name
was... That's a little unusual.
It is a little bit
usually
unusual.
Usually there's one left or something.
And originally it was called Gan Bua, which is a joke. Bua means talent, and Gan means no, so no talent.
Maybe that's why none of the original members are left.
But it was, you know, I think it was just, it was a different kind of project in the beginning, and they were playing more bar gigs around Chicago. And then there was kind of a big turnover over the years, and the three of us got asked to join the band about 6 years ago or something. And at some point it got awkward to call ourselves Gan Bua, especially when we have an Irish speaker in the band now. We consider just going with a new name altogether, but we just dropped the Gan. So it means talent, or it means victory.
Can mean a lot of things.
Means a lot of it. It's kind of a word that means a lot of things. There's a cheer. Bear Bua means go get 'em or something like that.
It's true. All they say is true.
I was saying, Brian, you should weigh in here because you do speak Irish. How long have you spoken Irish, and how did is this something you grew up with, or
It's not something I grew up with. I came into contact with Irish through public radio when I was my tweens, I suppose, and then being the precocious tweener that I was, I spent a lot of time in libraries and with books. Summers are very hot in St. Louis, so I spent a lot of time looking up and kind of doing research on the Irish language. It just struck me as funny that there was a language in Ireland that other than English, you know. So by the time that I was finishing high school, I had some basic conversational Irish. And then through my schooling, university as an undergrad, I was exposed to more and more Irish. And then I spent 2 summers of immersion in the west of Ireland, in West Galway. And that's pretty much where I gained fluency. And when I moved back to the States, when I joined the band about 6 years ago, I started teaching through a local organization in St. Louis and then the Washington University there. And now I'm living out in Portland and teach out there as well. So
the band, I guess I misrepresented you in my introduction. You're not all actually residing in Chicago. You come together in Chicago every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, Sean here is from Detroit, but he lives with the fiddler in the band, Devin. They both live in Chicago. But myself, I live, you know, Pacific Northwest, and Brian's in Minnesota.
St. Paul.
Well, no wonder you don't have any of the original members of the band. Everybody's coming back together. So when you guys were invited, was it a larger band then initially? And then
it was a five-piece.
It was just a five-piece.
Yeah.
At the time. So it was one larger.
Yeah. But, and the two guys that had invited us to join the band ended up both starting families and becoming too busy to do it. So
they said enough of that. So the no talent people were gone, and you were left. And you were left or invited, and you invited.
We didn't say that.
Let's make sure they don't get a copy of this.
No, I said that. I'm just messing with the name. And then you must have invited the guy who's actually not with us for the show, but we'll be here.
Right. Yeah, definitely. He's someone all three of us have known for a long time, but especially Sean. Sean and him.
Yeah, myself and Devin have been playing together for a long time, and we were actually talking about starting a project with Brian playing guitar. And so when the opportunity presented itself, we just asked him to join the band and combined that project with the former band, and it's what you get today.
Of the instrumentalists here, did you each have an early exposure to this kind of music through family connections, or you just kind of got interested because...
My father's a fiddle player, so I would have heard him playing a lot as a kid, and my brother's a musician too, and so I kind of grew up with it.
Also not an Irish style musician?
They're all Irish musicians, yeah.
And you are the one with Irish parents.
My dad is Irish.
And Irish parent. And his And so did you have a family band of some kind?
We do. We do still. And my brother and his wife both play. They're great players, Michael and Colleen Gavin. And my dad is Mick, and my girlfriend plays the fiddle. So the five of us all play together.
And Brian? You've got some pretty well-known Irish musicians in your community, but it's a big town.
Now I do, but when I was a kid, I grew up in northern Minnesota in Bemidji.
I've heard of Bemidji.
A decidedly non-Irish place. But when I was a teenager, like 13, 14 years old, I started going up every summer to the Winnipeg Folk Festival, just over the border in Canada. And they had a lot of Irish bands back in the 90s. They used to have Cherish the Ladies and Dervish and John Whalen and the House Band and a bunch of different bands. So I, you know, for me it was just that really, because there was no music in my family, and there was one band that sort of played Irish music in Bemidji, but mostly I heard these bands at that festival.
So your family took you to this festival, or
yeah.
You just kind of
yeah,
went?
And friends. I think the first two times I went along with friends because I was interested in other kinds of folk music, but when I heard Irish music, I really got interested in it specifically, and then I started ordering CDs from mail order catalogs and just kind of quickly became obsessed.
I don't know why. You know, I tend to ask this question a lot because I'm always interested in how people do get interested in the music that they're playing. And for some reason, I'm having trouble wrapping my brain around this concept of a 13-year-old kid getting excited about this. But I don't know why, because when I was a 13-year-old kid, I was excited about classical music. And
yeah. You know, well, I mean, I think for certain people, it just, you know, any genre out there has the potential to strike a chord with yeah. any kid. It just kind of, it depends.
It was an awkward period in your life, too, where you kind of, you're looking for something a little bit
yeah,
more.
You know, for me, it was like I played in garage bands, and I always wanted to be doing music. And so I was playing in garage bands, and then I started.
Irish garage bands?
No, rock and roll garage bands. And then I got into, like, singer-songwriter music, and I was listening to that, and neither of those two things fit. And I think Irish music, it almost kind of like, it was a little bit of both to my 14-year-old self anyway. It had like the acoustic kind of do-it-yourself vibe of a singer-songwriter music that I was into, but it also had the more kind of
communal,
yeah,
social atmosphere.
So I had a social thing around it that was really fun. Like right when I got into it, I started playing it at open mic nights and going to any kind of Irish session that I could get to. And so right away there was like this community aspect that I really got into. So,
and Brian, when you talked about how you started to acquire the Irish language. At what point did you decide to start singing at all, and then specifically?
I've been singing my
Irish.
Whole life.
Yeah,
I've been singing my whole life. I have tapes of me as a probably 2 or 3 year old singing. Around with my siblings, around Campfire or Bluebirds. It used to be like a combined Girl Scout, Boy Scout thing. And I would be making up words to songs, and you hear some of the kids saying, Brian, that's not right. He's not singing it right. But I've pretty much been a natural singer, you know, which is kind of strange because no one in my family really is a singer. And it's the same as Brian, you know, like luckily in the public school system that I was in, there was great music and art programs going on, and I was really supported by the heads of those organizations and choir directors and stuff. So by the time I had come into contact with Irish music, you know, I'd been singing steadily for 8 or 9 years at least, like in choirs and stuff. So when I finished high school, the option was, okay, if I want to do music, I go and do like classical music. But I'd never really been trained that way. I'd always been kind of I've been a choral singer, but I also had done like jazz, local jazz, and done gospel music as well. And so when I came to the Irish language and started to listen to the Irish forms of singing, it just immediately clicked because my voice suited that, and it seemed to be a vein that was much deeper than, you know, my interests were much deeper in that vein than they were in classical singing or choral singing and stuff. So it just kind of, it seemed really natural to segue from all of the choral stuff that I had done and vocal jazz that I had done to go into Irish music. And it was kind of compounded with my interest in the Irish language.
And since people are already telling you you were singing the words wrong, why not sing it in Irish, and then who would know?
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Except the other Irish folks in the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet you brought us a song or two to sing.
Yeah, we did. Sing one in Irish. Sing The Bachelor.
We'll do a song called On Bachelor, which means The Bachelor. And it comes from Donegal, from the northwest of Ireland, and it was written by a fellow named Sean Ben MacRianla, who was a famous historian, fiddler, and poet. He was the youngest of nine in his family, and he was also a bachelor. So the song kind of conveys his life experience of having fun while he was young and now wishing that he had married.
Three members of BUA who will be at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana for a concert on the Piper's Hut concert series tonight at 8 o'clock. They're live on Live and Local.
Kommen ich fahr ihr rüme kenden je, gis kahi me siel kan doi. Hulen en ien am hans an hies, mo chalu er is a lai. Vi meg sri lo is eg pati, ach dek im urch is eg gol. Ach ni wur me bandu heen ne rio, mo frax me li le bron. Vi me eg en tak teg dausu, su me kriu ag al jol. Vi me helien ta sur is, vi me su kak tin ol. Vi me sluk ak ran var taring tak snil mishil jammera. Juhen ma chalim na gai ki mikil hei ma jitu lom mikra. Nil bana gom snil klaun na gom snil fahari sak tu hin. Snil afi rar a bil a gom na grem na farum a vil. O a wurum ak me hevi hai me jok nar fos nar vi me og. Ach a mish ma hi gosom a chosh ma chanu hein gol chol. Ik vi me harn an la har snel at on a ka harin nach vi mi leim ri oig nil ganesh dal na bastil na harn na mi xanash an na khish na khu na hike ak is parts for words and love nor a hegu tas an tauri gas na la va de bra o watin got from no na va a fati vi nix now Lien cheer go song as nach schnell michel am ra bi hen a gest of flesh na fischel gi schnir what the dam am ba nil dane komm schnell faun na komm schnell fahr is a kum hin schnell ab di ruar a di la kom ne grem na fern ma vel o a wurn nach me hevi han mi tauf nar fols nar vi me o a kam ich ma hi go sama hasch mi chem hin da so Garage, Tommy Court, Horley, D of Mokri. Now, how a ye lash and rallies, Marin, ye mission deuce, my heel. Ah, also ye, Nahalinis, Jamie, ye far is back into Hains, Nabiki, Fakal, Fur, Fun, Follower, East, Marmishen, ye, the Nish ma me shak tas man cher me chen kravet man hur Da me kitsu grupe kattis da me karim teben pai Naru mo faki is a dain la rakas go kai Is a rin of lor na gila jar hula troparam man was Da me gom a schnell klaun a gom schnell fari sagu du hin Schnell api roer a til a gom na grem leferen a veil O a vorn ach me hevi hai me tak mar bos na vi me ho Ich mach ich das mal, ich mach ja nur hängt
A song called
On Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
There you go.
That almost not even sounds like that, too. Sung by Brianna Hart with Sean Gavin on the flute and Brian Miller, this time on the bouzouki, which is an instrument that talked about on this show a lot, but I'm trying to remember if anybody's actually brought one in or not. So it's actually delightful to see one played right in front of me.
Yeah, and this is a real one from Greece, actually. A lot of people in Irish music play ones that have been made in recent years to They almost call it like an Irish bouzouki. They have a flat back, so a little bit more similar to a guitar, but they're strung the same way as this one.
Bouzouki is originally a Greek instrument?
It's originally a traditional Greek instrument.
How did it make its way to Ireland?
Well, the legend that I heard was back in the free thinking 60s or 70s, there was one hanging on the wall at a party that people were playing tunes, and somebody took it down off the wall in Ireland and tried backing up tunes on it and liked the sound of it. But there was a guy, Johnny Moynihan, that played for a bit with a band called The Dannon, who tried it out, and then Alec Finn, who played with The Dannon, got a Greek bouzouki and kind of popularized it. And Andy Irvin, another guy, had one.
So it was really, there was somebody had the idea and gave
it
a
somebody had
role
the idea.
And it worked out.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of stuck, you know, as an accompaniment instrument. It's used in a totally different way than it's used in Greek music. In Greek music, they play solos on it, and they go way high up the neck and play really fast, crazy stuff.
But in Irish music,
it's generally an accompaniment instrument in Irish music.
So you use it the same as the guitar, basically, just with a different sound.
Yeah, and a lot of people like it just because it's different than the guitar. It doesn't have as many notes. It's just four different courses or four different notes per strum. So it's a little bit more sparse sounding, and it's more texturally complex sounding. So
it rings.
Is it similar to play? I mean, it's kind obviously a fretted instrument.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have to adapt much from going to the guitar to that?
Depends on how you tune it. You know, a lot of people use an alternate tuning on guitar for Irish music. So, and a lot of people use various alternate tunings on bouzouki. So you can make it feel like what you're used to on guitar if you tune it a certain way.
You know? And what did you do?
I tuned it A-D-A-D, and I tuned the guitar D-A-D-G-A-D. So lots of A's and D's both ways.
Dad-gad, I've heard
dad-gad
of that.
Dad-gad on guitar and A-dad on bouzouki.
Not being a guitarist, I mean, I have heard of these things, but I don't ultimately know the effect on guitarists. But I know it's a significant topic of conversation.
You get used to it, and then it's your standard tuning.
and that's what it is. Well, we'll have more from Bua in just a moment or two. Here on Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. They'll be at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight for a concert at 8 o'clock. And they will be joined by their fourth member, who is the fiddler, Devin Shepherd. And he certainly adds a very different sound to the mix as well. The question whether should Black History Month be ended or not will be explored in our next community cinema presentation, which is called More Than a Month. It examines what the treatment of history tells us about race and power in contemporary America. The free public screening will be at the Maine Champaign Public Library tonight from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned and the discussion translated by a sign language interpreter. So I suppose I should add that you could go see the screening and then run over to the Independent Media Center and then see and hear Bua. So you can do both of these things at the same time, well, or in succession. Sean, excuse me. Sean has fired up or is about to fire up the pipes here. You don't really fire up pipes, but you...
I've thought about it.
Wind them up. I was going to say you wind them up, but you just change the pronunciation and you wind them up. Oh, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, they're a wonderful instrument, but they can cause one fits, I understand.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I think.
Fits of what sort?
Rage, mainly. No, they're. I'm not too bad. They're just very temperamental and have a long history of being so.
And why is that? What makes them temperamental?
They're dry, double reed instrument. So they're very, the wood that's used is cane, and it's just very light. And it's just very susceptible to changes in temperature and humidity.
So the double reeds are what the wind that you
right
in these pipes you've got the bag on the airbag underneath your arm,
mm-hmm.
or your right arm. What's under your left arm?
Well, the left arm is actually the airbag. This
okay,
is a pump.
The right arm is
Apollo's.
The pump. The airbag is the where the air goes, and then it's from the airbag through the the pipe and then down through the reeds, yeah, they, and then that's what makes the sound.
The part that the melody comes out of is called the chanter, and so that's there's a double reed in that, and there's also a double reed in each of these tubes, and then single reeds in each of these cylinders here.
And we'll have a video up on our website at some point soon where you can actually see this a little bit better. I mean, the most visible part, most obvious part to the viewer is the part that doesn't really do a whole lot. I guess you sort of move it with your part of with your
this
hand,
part here.
With your right hand, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The regulators, they call them. They're for playing accompaniment to the tunes.
But that's the biggest part of this instrument, the most elaborate-looking part, and the part that you mostly work at is the chanter, which kind of looks like a little flute.
It's similar fingering. It's eight holes, rather than six, and then I also have a bunch of keys that make it fully chromatic. So it's fairly similar.
And what are we going to hear with it?
We'll play a couple of jigs. The first one is a tune called The Cook in the Kitchen, and then we'll go into one called The Gold Ring, which is a version that we got from a piper called Seamus Innes.
And these tunes during the show tonight would feature Brienne on his feet?
Potentially.
Doing a jig?
We're going to try not to do any duplicates, just for the listeners' pleasure.
Oh, good. Good idea.
But we'll see.
Good. So what most of what you're hearing is not what you would hear tonight, so therefore, no reason not to go hear them tonight. Every reason to go hear them tonight. You'll hear something new.
Plan.
Plus, you'll see the dancing.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. a couple or few jigs from two members of BUA, Brian Miller on guitar, and how do I keep forgetting your name, Sean? Sorry, Sean Keff.
Sorry, I don't remember yours either.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just kidding.
On Illen Pipes. And again, we'll have a video up there. I hope Kyle got some of this. What people would have difficulty seeing, probably, from even an audience point of view, is one aspect of your playing of the pipes, where you rest the chanter a lot on your knee or on your leg, but then you lift it up often, and then that makes that other sound that kept sort of sneaking in with a little sliding. What are you doing there exactly?
Well, when all of my fingers are down and the chanter is down, there's no sound coming out. So that's kind of default mode, you know? And then in order to make sound, I either pick my fingers up or pick the chanter up, and sometimes I do both. And it's all about that. Usually it's just for tone manipulation.
But sound is coming from somewhere when it's resting on your knee.
No. Well, not if my fingers are all the way down. Yeah. So it's hard. It doesn't really translate to radio.
No, not very easily. But we're going to try anyhow.
So if I'm like this, then there's no sound coming out.
All right. It's rested on the knee. But right. So then why manipulate your fingers at that point?
Well, as soon as I pick a finger up, that's when sound will come out.
If all your fingers are on
the holes.
Right, okay.
Yes,
of course,
system?
Right.
That's why it's
as
a closed
to pipe,
system.
Bagpiping.
Like, which is an open system open of bagpiping, system. Yeah.
But then when you lift it off your knee, it's just another sound, essentially.
Yeah, it changes the tone and the pitch. So it's generally just for add a little character, that kind of thing.
You said that the fingering is somewhat similar to the flute. Does that explain at all why pipers often double on flute and the other way around?
Yeah, I think a lot of pipers generally play the whistle as well, and usually you wouldn't start off on the pipes generally. You'd play the whistle first and then make your way to the pipes or the flute. So, yeah, they're all fairly similar. I mean, the pipes are, like I was saying before, they're a closed system, so rather than putting your fingers down to make a sound like you would on a flute or a whistle, you have to pick them up. So it's actually like the reverse, but it's still fairly similar.
So that doesn't get too confusing to...
Oh, it does.
Oh, it does.
He frequently has nosebleeds on stage. So.
Oh, nice. And something to look forward to. Another reason to go to the live performance, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Our program today on Live and Local is made possible with support from Sinfonia da Camera, presenting More Mozart. On Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Kraner Center in Urbana, Sinfonia dedicates an evening of music to Mozart and showcases their talent as soloists and chamber performers. More information is available at 333-6280. So we've said a couple times that your fourth member is missing for the show, had to run back to Chicago quickly, fiddler Devin Shepherd. When you are missing somebody, and in this case, obviously, specifically the fiddler, what do you have to do to adapt? Because clearly he plays a role. Does somebody else
we luckily
take over
have,
the role?
We've or? Luckily not encountered that problem so far.
But yet here you are today. How
I
are
mean,
you adapting
at a
today?
Gig or so, at a performance, we haven't had to do that.
But it's not actually as bad as you might imagine, because we don't, with this band, we don't do a lot of arranging with the music. We don't do a lot, like he doesn't have a part that's a whole lot different than Sean's part. Like when we're playing dance tunes, like we were just playing there, Devin would generally just
be playing
play
the melody
as well, play the in unison with Sean, more or less, which is kind of the traditional way in Irish music to play unison, more like the melody instruments play.
So if Brian breaks out the concertina, he's going to do the same thing probably.
Yes. Yes.
And it just changes the sound, adds a sound.
It changes the sound, and it's not, you know, to say that it's in unison is kind of missing the fact that each instrument kind of has its own quirks, and that, you know, there's a certain sound to that too. There's a looseness about it. It's not like perfect lockstep unison either.
Right. It's all about figuring out how to not necessarily be playing all the same notes at the same time, but still be together.
Yeah.
And each of you is gonna have some ornamentations that you'll throw in.
Yeah.
It may not be the same
as variations as well.
And that's the secret. A lot of people that ask, when do you have time to rehearse? And the reality is we really don't need that much time to rehearse, because so much of it is kind of determined by just playing the melody. So long as you have the melody, you're about three-fourths of the way there. It gets difficult, though, when we're doing arrangements of songs and there's maybe a key instrument that's meant to play some kind of backing or some kind of trope, and then they're not missing, so you have to fill it in somehow. But like we said, we haven't had to deal with that yet. I don't think we would probably. We used to sub in, but I think now we're fairly confident in our sound that we wouldn't want to. We'd probably just, if a band member wasn't available for a gig, we just probably wouldn't do the gig. We'd turn it down, you know?
It just occurred to me a question here. Since you said that you have been a jazz singer, you have done some jazz singing. Is there such a thing as Irish scat singing so that you could join in the melody with your voice?
Yeah, it's lilting. It's called lilting.
Is that what that's called?
So yeah, it's just vocals.
So you do that sometimes?
Not with the band. I mean, not yet anyway. I do sometimes. I think in some of the older recordings, I lilted the last couple bars of a tune just as effect, but, you know. Maybe.
Gave you an idea. Gave you an idea there.
It gave me an idea. I was thinking about that earlier, but I'll give you the credit anyway.
I was going to say I'll take the credit.
I'll put you in the liner notes.
Yeah, that's fine. You put me in the liner notes. That's right. I made it public. I made the public announcement. So
I have to hurry up and record now, so no one else steals the idea.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea. You made a point of, I'm quoting from your bio here, of, quote, keeping the music down the path of tradition, unquote. And you just said that you don't do a lot of arranging, so you mostly do the tunes. Seems like a lot of some of the younger bands who have come through here, who I've talked with on this show, have held, you know, kept a foot in the path of tradition, but have made a point of adding to it, of going a little down a more modern path. How have you chosen your particular path, and what does that really mean in the modern presentation of Irish music?
Oh, that's a different.
We're a little bit unusual in that respect, but I think all four of us are fairly united in just being really interested in the more traditional side of things. I mean, I think all four of us have realized that there's a lot of kind of like aesthetic territory in the tradition that we feel like doesn't get exploited by a lot of the bands that have one foot in the tradition and then are exploring, which, you know, nothing against those bands. It's just their own approach. But for us, we find it really interesting to try to kind of get deeper into the tradition and the music that has gone on through the centuries in Irish music. I mean, we listen to a lot of old recordings from like 100 years ago, and we're always, all four of us are really interested in just, there is all this like aesthetic stuff that the older players did that some of it gets abandoned when you just kind of play the notes, you know, and then add jazz or rock or whatever influences to it.
So what I feel like happens a lot is, since the age of recording in general, people have often found that as a source of music rather than, you know, whatever their family or their local musicians in their neighborhood and stuff like that. And because of that, because of people also exploring and having one foot in the tradition, a lot of times generation after generation kind of thinks of the previous generation's music as home base. So you start there and then you explore. But it's not really, you know, like if you go back further,
stuff gets lost.
Of stuff gets lost and forgotten, and I mean, after it's like cloning a clone, you know. after enough times, it's not at all the same anymore, I feel like. So there are some elements of what I would consider traditional music that aren't heard very often anymore, and I think that they're really nice and good, and so they think they should be.
There's a deep well to draw from too, like in the Chicago scene and in some of the scenes in the Upper Midwest and the East Coast, that you don't have to travel too far to find that kind of that richness of music. And in the age of recording, we all too often just pop in a CD rather than try to seek out the musicians that are still alive, you know, and hear what their stories are. And because one, it's being with the band, and especially between Devin and Sean, with their interest in the Chicago scene, you know, the more they discuss musicians, the more you see this web of interconnection between people in Chicago, people on the East Coast, people back home in Ireland, and you realize that, I mean, you do realize that Irish music is a small world, but then you realize that it's intergenerational, it's connected in a way that's pretty amazing. And when you listen to things that were recorded 100 years ago and you hear that there are people still playing those versions of the tune, it's a really proud feeling to know that they're bearers of the torch of tradition, you know, and that there's still those type of people who are just interested in the music and feel that the music is good enough in itself. You know, nothing needs to be added or taken away, you know, so it's pretty interesting. It's not that I've always thought this way, but now that I've been more exposed to the things like, you know, Chief O'Neill's personal collection of music and some of the older collections, which are mostly instrumental tunes, but sometimes you do come across some singers. It's a kind of a glimpse into a world that I think we've forgotten, I think.
Brian, you're involved in a number of other bands, either regularly or occasionally, including a couple who have been, maybe three who have been here. Dean Karras, who runs the Piper's Hut Concert Series, is here with me. Have we had the Dún Cayley Band through here?
Not yet.
Kulrua, I know, has been.
Kulrua has been here.
And Brian's been involved with there. And also the Martin de Kogan Project. Martin's been through a couple times, at least a couple or three, with a different project. So do those groups, do you tend to affiliate yourselves with other groups that have a similar approach, primarily traditional? Or do you branch out in some of those as well?
Some of it is branching out, some more than others. And all of us have been involved in other bands, and all of us have done music that has a tiny little pinky toe in the tradition.
Going back to the garage band?
well, even recent, you know, recent stuff that all of us have done. But I like the more traditional music, so that's kind of what, you know, people that are looking for me to play with them are usually from that angle, you know, like certainly Kulrua playing with Paddy O'Brien. He's very traditional minded guy, and he's actually been he lives in the Twin Cities, and he's been a huge influence on me in that direction. You know, Martin de Kogan's a different story, kind of. I mean, he's connected to the traditional music a lot, but he does a real kind of almost a different subgenre of music. He does kind of like, I don't know how you describe it, kind of like a lot of entertainer kind of songs.
Yeah, there's a lot of humor involved.
He's a storyteller, you know, so it's a, I don't know, I think of it as being, it appeals to the traditionalist in me, but it's a kind of a different, it's a real different angle.
You know? And I know at least one of his bands does a lot of vocal harmonizing, and
which can be
a lot of fun.
Fusion band, right. Yeah.
We're talking with members of BUA, who will be on the Piper's Hut Concert Series at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight for a concert at 8 o'clock. They're with us live in the studio. Do we have another vocal tune?
Yeah, let's do Parents Reared Me.
Yeah, we've got a song here in English called My Parents Reared Me. And it's a song that I learned from Len Graham, who's a singing partner of mine. He's originally from Caniantrum. He lives in Armagh now with his wife, Paragin. And the song comes from the north of Ireland, from Donegal again, actually, from the Inishowen Peninsula. And it was known as the Sorn Song up that way. But it's a strong song. There's a good statement made about war, you know. And this fellow has gone and enlisted in the army for one of entertainment. But what he found is that war is much more than entertainment. So this is called My Parents Read Me Tenderly.
My parents reared me tenderly, I being their only son. Little did they think I would follow the fife and the drum. They brought me up in the fear of God, kept me from toil and woe, which makes me sigh and oft-times cry, I wish the war was o'er, to finish my education. education. They sent me to school a while, and by their hard industry kept me in proper style. But with some liquor in my head, I sailed for Glasgow Green. I enlisted with John Barber, all for to serve the Queen. After 7 long years had passed and gone, I thought on my liberty. After 7 long years had passed and gone, I thought I would be free. But the answer the colonel gave to me, it oft times makes me sigh, that I was bound to serve the Queen till all the wars were by. Oh, once I thought I ne'er would be in this dejected state, a poor forlorn soldier exposed to hardships great. The birds that flutter on each branch with terror strike my heart. Every star I see alarms me, from war I must depart. So I'll take my second bounty, perhaps it will be for life, and I'll cross that briny ocean, and the gun will be my wife. And I'll fill up a flowing glass and toss it o'er and o'er. Fair maid, don't mourn, for I'll return when the cruel war is o'er.
A tune that you can find on the most recent CD by Bua called Down the Green Fields. This was called My Parents Reared Me Tenderly, sung by Brian O'Hart with Brian Miller on guitar, both members of Bua, who will be performing tonight in downtown Urbana, an 8 o'clock concert. Here are some other events going on in our listening area you can see and hear live over the next couple of days. At Illinois State University in Normal, there's a faculty recital by trumpeter Amy Gilreath at the Center for the Performing Arts in Normal. That's at 8 o'clock. The Low Anthem will be at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight for an early show at 7 o'clock. It's PSO chamber players from the Peoria Symphony Orchestra giving a concert tonight called Free Men and Free Minds at the Beckmer Auditorium at Eureka College in Eureka this evening at 7:30. The traditional jazz orchestra is at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5. Tomorrow, the University of Illinois Department of Theater presents the Last Days of Judas Iscariot at the Krannert Center in Urbana, 7:30 tomorrow through Saturday night, and then Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock. The Station Theater in Urbana presents Stephen Sondheim's musical Company tomorrow night at 8 through Sunday, all performances at the same time, at the same time of evening, I should say. And there is the weekly traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Had to make sure we mentioned that. And Illinois State University, a guest artist recital with Gaudete Brass at the Kemp Recital Hall on the ISU campus in Normal tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. This is 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. And as long as we're giving out information and websites and whatnot, if you'd like more information on this concert and on other concerts in the Piper's Hut series, you can go to pipers-hut.com and get all the info you would want and more, including purchasing tickets there. And for more information on BUA, I don't actually have it in front of me. What is your website?
www.buamusic.com, BUAmusic.com.
More or less as it sounds. And I was thinking that the expression, Brian, that you mentioned earlier, that the Irish expression that includes BUA, the one that means literally be victorious, we could use here for any of the Illini teams who are finding themselves in
Bear
some
Bua.
Sort of battle. Yeah, Bear BUA, B-E-I-R-B-U-A, exclamation point, go get them, people. Why don't we go out with something else?
Set of tunes?
Sure.
Set of tunes?
Yeah. Boys of Ballester and 5 Mile Chase?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to play a couple reels. There are two reels that kind of, I've always grown up playing these two together. I know they were recorded on a 78 record by a fiddle player from Sligo called Paddy Killoran back in the 1920s. And I'm not sure if that's why they're always played together. They may be that they predate that recording, but anyhow,
here that's you where go. You first encountered them.
No, actually, I learned it from my dad.
Oh,
and I only found out later, like only a couple of years ago, that they were actually recorded. I'm sure that it may be where he learned them, but I'm not sure either.
Pick them up where they can, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you all, gentlemen, for coming
Thanks
in today.
A lot.
Have a
Thanks
great
for having us,
tonight.
Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
And their fiddler will join them on the show tonight, Devin Shepherd. We have Brianna Hart, Sean Gavin, and Brian Miller with us on the show. And I assume we'll hear Sean and Brian in this set of tunes.
Okay.
It's live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9.